Hi everyone, this is Mariah Muhammad from Becker's Healthcare. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Becker's Healthcare podcast series. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by Jim Gilligan, Vice President of Health Systems and Group Engagement at AMA. Jim, thank you so much for being here today. How are you?
Doing great this morning. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thank you so much for being here and taking time out of your busy schedule, I'm sure, to speak with me. So let's jump right into our conversation today. To get us started, could you please introduce yourself and share a bit about your role and organization?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you already helped me get started with my introduction. But yeah, I'm Jim Gilligan. And I think most people are familiar with the AMA or the American Medical Association, especially in regards to our advocacy efforts. But I think a lot of people aren't as familiar with all the other resources and education we provide to advance physician initiatives. That includes everything from innovating the way we train physicians today, how we support their professional development and well-being, and also how we remove the barriers in their ability to treat their patients. Now, my specific role at the AMA is in leading our programs that are designed to partner with medical schools, GME programs, and health systems so that they can enhance support for their learners and their physicians. Now, most of the time, if I'm at a Becker's meeting and with your audience, we're talking about our AMA health system member program, because it's probably most relevant to the people who show up in your meetings. Our mission at the AMA is to be a powerful ally for physicians in patient care. Now, what we've learned is that the best way to meet that purpose for physicians working within health systems is to make sure that the leaders running their system have the right solutions in place to take care of them.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much for giving us that explanation. And speaking more about the AMA, at Becker's 14th annual meeting, the American Medical Association presented new research on physician burnout nationwide, which sounds really, really interesting. I wish I was there to hear it. But can you tell us more about that study and the data behind it, and if there are any insights that stood out the most?
You know, I wish you were at that presentation too. That was a really cool experience. It was a packed house and it was cool. It was standing room only. I was really excited to see so many health system leaders focusing on addressing burnout in their workforces. It was inspiring. Now, we have an amazing team at the AMA that leads our efforts in organizational well-being. They partner with more than 100 healthcare organizations every year to support those systems' efforts to address provider satisfaction and also develop or enhance an effective organizational well-being strategy, but a strategy that will actually drive change. Now, a core component of that work is what we call our organizational biopsy assessment program. Now, that allows health systems to measure burnout and other key indicators of well-being across their teams. Now, the primary goal of the measurement is not to just identify individuals' experience in burnout. In fact, we don't do that at all. But instead, we help take a look at the systemic issues driving those burnout rates and also be able to take action on those issues. Now, while we're doing that work, we've been able to build a data asset that allows our partners to have valuable benchmarks to compare their own findings to, but it also allows us as AMA to identify key insights we can share to support the industry overall. And that was what we were trying to do at the last Becker's meeting. Now, there was a lot of insights shared, and I would say of the variety of insights we gather, there are a few that stand out not only to the AMA, but I would also say through our interactions with our customers. So one, providers experiencing at least one symptom of burnout, it's still too high at nearly 50%. But this marker is starting to move back down to at least pre-COVID levels. So if you take a look at fourth quarter of 2021, when we were in an additional COVID surge, nearly 64% of physicians were experiencing a symptom of burnout. Now, conversely, only about half of providers feel valued by their organization. Now, that was a question we started asking during COVID. We've also seen through some of our subsequent research that feeling valued by one's organization is important because it serves as a protective factor against stress and burnout. Now, the issue that should be concerning is unlike the burnout findings that are coming down, this indicator has improved only slightly post-COVID. Now, the finding that gains a lot of attention, and it probably should, is around the intention to leave practice in the next 2 years. This information is critically important, as we know systems are addressing workforce shortage challenges. Now, over one third of physicians and nearly 40% of APPs report that they're moderately, likely, or definitely intending to leave practice. Now, listen, our research shows that probably only about a third of that larger number is actually going to leave. That still comes out to over a 10% turnover rate among providers. Now, I'll note, not all of that is going to be because of burnout or dissatisfaction. A share of those are leaving is probably because of due to a planned retirement.
Got it, got it. Thank you so much for telling us about that study and the data associated with it. Those statistics are definitely really interesting. And based on your work with healthcare leaders, what well-being trends or key performance indicators do you recommend they monitor and prioritize? How can the health systems demonstrate they are committed to a culture of organizational well-being? And why is it important that they do so?
Yeah, Mariah, great questions. Let me break that up into a couple parts. So when we talk about the well-being trends or key indicators that we recommend systems monitor and prioritize, what scares us is we're seeing a very high number of respondents reporting an intent to reduce clinical hours. Now, leaders at health systems need to keep a really close eye on this. These numbers are especially high among primary care specialties. In fact, almost 40% of family medicine and internal medicine doctors are considering reducing their clinical hours to something less than full time. Now, listen, systems are struggling to have enough primary care doctors to keep up with patient volume and demand as it is now, and those numbers are only growing. If more of our doctors are reducing their direct patient care hours, that problem is only going to get much worse. Now, what we're also seeing through the research is that those who have moved to more of a part-time role are not also reporting an associated reduction in their indirect patient care activities. And obviously, that includes things like documentation time. And the data suggests that when someone reduces their hours, they will continue to reduce their hours or leave the practice altogether in subsequent years. Again, this is something systems really need to have on their radar. Now, the other part of your question, Mariah, was how can systems demonstrate a culture of organizational well-being and why should they find that urgent? I recommend every health system we work with that they consider at least four things to improve their organizational well-being. Number one, lean into communication. Earlier, I referenced my concern of the slow to improve number of physicians who feel valued. Our research shows that physicians who report working for leaders who are transparent, authentic, and supportive show a higher sense of value. Healthcare systems should consider placing an emphasis on executive leadership communication, but they should really go further and also find solutions that allow them to provide leadership and professional development to any doctor or staff member who has influence over their frontline physicians. Number two, listen, it's hard to improve something if you aren't measuring it. And then allow your measurement to identify what you need to improve. There are some strong tools out there to help systems measure burnout specifically. Now, listen, I know some groups lean on their engagement surveys to do that, but they should consider whether the survey is validated to measure well-being. Is it built to measure system drivers? Or is it just measuring individual resiliency? So, number three, develop an evidence-based organizational strategy to improve well-being. The systems that we recognize through the AMA Joint Medicine Health System Recognition Program are leaning into the research on what drives organizational well-being and what improvements are actually showing promise of driving sustainable change. This means there's less focus on just stocking the fridge with better food or providing yoga classes that reduce burnout. Rather, they're focusing on things like policies and resources that enhance workflow efficiency, reduce those EHR hassles, and relieve some of that unnecessary documentation burden. And that includes work outside of work-related documentation. A lot of folks refer to that as pajama time. And then number four, and I really love this one. Make sure people leading the work in your system are part of a larger community focused on this work. There are a lot of very talented leaders doing some really great work in this space. If your staff feel empowered and engaged in ideas for improvement and innovation, they will be much more effective in their roles.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that information. I really like those solutions that you shared, especially the measuring burnout. And for the health execs listening in, what resources would you recommend to health systems looking to advance provider satisfaction and well-being initiatives?
Well, Mariah, the really good news is there are a lot of organizations and vendors out there systems can look to for help. But the reality is now more than ever, everyone needs to be really careful about where they're investing their dollars. And they certainly need to make sure that they're capturing the best ROI possible. There are some effective and comprehensive sets of solutions regarding well-being out there, and groups should work hard to find those. Now, listen, I work at the AMA, so I can best speak about what we offer to partners who are looking for more event support in the space. Earlier, I referenced our organizational biopsy assessment program. Listen, anyone looking to measure or maybe are looking to measure more effectively should at least take a demo of that program. What hit home for me about it was when I was at a lunch with a CMO who had just used this program. And he was telling me about how valuable he found having access to tools that let him not only help his physicians, but be able to do it while also finding the things the system was doing to contribute to the problem. Now, listen, also, we do this as part of our mission work at the AMA. So there's no cost involved for us to help you with this. Second, take a look at our Joyin Medicine Health System Recognition Program. You know, there's two main things that it does. It does a lot of things, but two main things. Last year, it recognized 72 health systems that essentially are meeting the standard of care in physician and organizational well-being. But it also provides a roadmap for those systems who are looking to develop or improve an existing well-being strategy. And then finally, take some time and sign up for our AMA Insight Network well-being community. Again, that's not something that has a charge associated with it. These virtual webinars and learning series discussions bring together like-minded peers that are also focused on this topic. And so they can share new research and they can also look at what is being tried in other systems to make the lives better for providers.
Yeah, great insights yet again. Before I let you go, Jim, a couple more things. Where can listeners find the research, report or data you noted earlier in our conversation?
All right, everybody grab your pens. So you would go to AMA-ASSN.org/joy. Or you can Google AMA and delete all the way back up to the .org part and throw in a backslash joy. But if you go there, you'll not only be able to find the full report that has a lot of the insights I shared regarding the data we've collected, but some of those resources I just mentioned, you can find out how to sign up for those or ask questions about those as well.
Perfect. And is there anything we didn't cover today that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I'll end on this. $500,000. If a system is trying to decide how much to invest in a well-being strategy, that is a number they should consider. That is what research shows is the average cost to replace a physician who leaves. A strategy that can reduce that from happening can have a very big impact on the bottom line.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Jim, for your time and a great discussion today. We really do appreciate you speaking with us.
Thank you. We always love working with Beckers and look forward to doing it more.
Yeah, of course. Now, I'd also like to thank AMA as well for sponsoring this episode. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com. Have a wonderful rest of your day.